Okay, so let's look at Romans chapter 15. It's been a tough preparation for this one, I have to say. Romans 14 is one of my favorite passages of the scripture, but I think we probably exhausted it. I listened to myself preaching a month ago at double speed this morning just to remind me where I got to. Do you know what? I love listening to messages at twice speed. You want to try it sometime. It really is good. You get twice as much in the same time, but it seems to it concentrates it. There's less of the interruptions, the pauses, and it's just straight through. So give it a go sometime if you've got the technology to do that. But I'm going to read Romans 15 out, as I tend to, from the beginning. So we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee, that's the Father, fell on me, that's the Son. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience or endurance and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, obviously the Old Testament, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he says, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You don't need to preach it, you just need to read it. Hallelujah. And I myself, I also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified, made pure, made holy by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Hallelujah. For this cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Hallelujah. What a chapter. Really tough in some respects and very encouraging in other respects. And I think that section there about the Gentiles, you know, we are Gentiles, folks. Unless you're a Jew here today, you're a Gentile. And we're included. God had purposed in Christ to reconcile the two to one, to become one. The twain, as the King James says, to become one. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the gospel is for the Gentiles? You don't have to be circumcised. Ouch. Amen. You don't have to be proselytized. You don't have to do as my neighbor did when she converted to Judaism from Catholicism, spent 50 quid an hour on Jewish classes. Amazing. You know, so we are brought in freely, freely you've received, freely give. Amen. And by the way, I was thinking, and you know, I'm a bit contentious when it comes to songs. I was thinking about some of the songs that we sang, we do sing. And I looked up, it was the word debt. Who believes we're in debt to Jesus? Put your hands up if you believe you're in debt. Nobody's putting their hands up. Oh, one person's putting their hand up. Graham, you put your hand up. Well done. You're wrong, but you put your hand up, give you a due. Do you know what? You will not find the Bible telling us that we're in debt to Jesus. We're not in debt to him. See, when you give something to somebody and you give it to them, it's yours. Amen? You don't owe it to them. They're giving it to you. Some people, when they give a present to somebody, they're really concerned what that person does with that present. And I did it once years ago. I gave a motorcycle to a guy and he left it outside to rot. And I was very indignant about it. And the Lord rebuked me. He said, you gave it to him. It's not yours anymore. Amen. And Jesus gave himself for us to reconcile us to God. All right. We don't owe him anything. Now, we want to. We want to give our lives to him. But that's not because we owe him. Hallelujah. It's because we love him. Amen. Because there's a difference between debt and love. When you do things out of debt, you do it out of compulsion. But when you do it out of love, you do it out of a heart that is just taken up by the goodness of God. It's good that we remember him through the communion. Of course, he told us to do that. But that's as a victory. That is as a weapon to we use against the doubts, the unbelief, the fear, the accusations of the evil one. We use the communion of our Lord Jesus Christ to say, Satan, you have been defeated. You no longer have power. Your power was broken. Jesus stamped on you and destroyed you. Amen. And yes, he's not locked. He's not in chains yet. He isn't. I mean, we've got power over him, but he's still got a lot of reign and he's working in the world. And boy, have we seen that this last week? Have we seen that this last week? The whole world has gone absolutely crazy. Did you know that the first minister of Wales was asked, would you consider imposing a curfew on all men because of the threat they are to women? And he said, well, we wouldn't take that as a priority and it would only be for a short time, but yes, we might if we... Imagine it. They're now trying to say that women are a minority. Ah! What is the world coming to? It's gone crazy. But we are in Christ. Hallelujah. We are of a different kingdom, brothers. It's getting darker, but the light must shine brighter in and through us. Amen? Sorry, what were we supposed to be looking at? Romans 15? Ah! Okay, hallelujah. Well, let's look at Romans 15. You know, it's a tough passage to swallow this because it starts off talking about those who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. I told you a story, I think it was recently, I think it might be last week, last time, about how Christians, when they get together and they've never met each other before, that they sort of investigate each other. Do you remember that? I told that joke about the two Southern Baptists who met up and they worked out one was a Southern Baptist, the other one said, oh, praise the Lord, brother. And then they went through and they were Pentecostal Baptists and they went through and they praised the Lord. And then one of them said, are you Armenian or Calvinist? And he said, Armenian. He said, heretic. And do you know what? There's every person, I can guarantee you, every person in this room, because it is a room, it's a virtual room. Every person in this room, if I spend probably with most of you 5 minutes, maybe some, it'll take a bit longer, but I can find something that you would find you disagree with me about. And I can find things I disagree with you about. It's easy. It's easy. It really is. It's so easy to find things that we don't have in common. And yet we're not called to do that. We're called to unite in our faith over the things which are important. Romans 14 is all about that. Doubtful disputations. Things which are not important, but we make important. Amen? And I think it's a stupid thing we do. But we do it when we're younger. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that now, about age. I don't know about you, but when I was well, let me say when I was very young. When I was very, very young, I was very, very weak. It's called being a baby. And I discovered, or actually I discovered with our own children, that the most developed organ in our body when we're babies is our lungs. Have you noticed that? And we feel, even though nobody's told us, that we need to exercise those lungs, mostly at night, about 3 o'clock in the morning. And the incredible power of a baby's lungs. I mean, it's astonishing. It can wake the dead. Yeah. And it doesn't give up. It just goes on and on and on until you do something to stick something in its mouth to stop it from. Hello. My goodness. Microsoft Teams has just loaded up my computer. I'm not due to work till next Friday. Let me just turn that off. Not quite sure how that happened. Whoops. Yeah. Yeah. And those that you have to put something in its mouth to keep it quiet. Block the sound, so to speak. And yet then what happens is we grow up and our physical frames develop. And the body beauty is sculptured. Have you noticed that? You become beautiful. Anne and I watched the last of the last of the One Foot in the Grave last night. And it was One Foot in the Algarve. I tell you what, it's hilarious. It's just so funny, especially at the same age. Anne, as you know, was 60. She doesn't look it, of course. She was 60 recently. And Margaret in the series, she's just coming up to 60. And they go to the Algarve and there's all these nubile young ladies walking up and down the beach and she's looking at them. Not him, give him his due. The guy's got, he's really faithful to his wife in his heart, I believe, as well as in his eyes. But Margaret's struggling because she knows she's reaching that age. And there is that point, isn't there? We go through that phase, and I'm going to show you a video in a moment or a little bit later, which you'll all remember. Well, no, you won't all remember. Most of you'll remember. In fact, no, you will all remember, except maybe you guys from Africa. You may not know about this one, though there are Africans included. But it just goes back to the 70s, and now then they leap forward to the 90s, and someone was commenting, what if we saw that video today? Those people are going to be in their 70s. And it happens, doesn't it, folks? Age happens. But you see, there are advantages with age, because the physical body, I did write something down here. I'll read it. It says, our bodies become sculpted, beautiful. Girls, at that same time, girls grow up and become emotional adults, followed a short 20 years later by boys, some of whom actually turn into men. It's true, isn't it? You know, when you've got daughters, you don't want them near young men. They're not men, they're boys. Right? I mean, thank God for both of our daughters. They found mature men, mature young boys, if you like. Mature boys. But wow, that's the exception. I know certainly for me, it was not the case. And then, Just as when things seem to be going well, we wake up one morning and we find our shoulders or our fingers are inexplicably aching. And this starts the inexorable path to old age. Have you noticed it? As you get older, so you start, you wake up, you think, oh, what's that pain? And then your fingers, and you get swelled fingers. A couple of my fingers, that finger there, right? Look at it. You see it? It's the wrong shape. And then when he's 62, and you think, my goodness, what's going on? So what happens is we end up going the full circle. We start off weak and we end up becoming weak. Physically, of course. Amen? What's that noise? Who's breathing? Who's the heavy breather on this? Is that you, Hartley?
It's Neil.
I don't think it's you, actually. I think it might be Neil. It's either, maybe he's not. Okay. All right. Jesus said to Peter at the peak of his physical strength, verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and you walked wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch forth your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you don't want to go. Yeah, imagine Peter worked all night. He still managed to get one of the nets over the side of the boat and caught the fish. And, you know, he was probably at the peak of his strength, probably his late teens, early 20s, and very strong will, strong-minded in some respects, and full of, you know, full of hope and zeal and everything else. And yet Jesus said that when he was going to be, somebody's going to have to dress him. Yeah, gosh, how indignant for poor old Peter, and lead him where he didn't want to go, presumably to his execution. We don't know, but that could have been referring to that. Now, that's a bit different, isn't it, to when he was chained between four soldiers who were guarding him, 12 more there to guard him, four quartinians, and Herod intended to execute him to please the people. And you know what he was doing? He was sleeping. I love it. What a wonderful testimony that is. He was sleeping. And on that occasion, he got kicked in the side by an angel. Oi, wake up. Wow, awesome, isn't it? And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, Gird yourself. In other words, dress yourself. See, he was different here. He could dress himself. Later, he needed someone to dress him. And bind on your sandals. And so he did. And he saith to him, Cast your garment about you and follow me. Hallelujah. What a difference. There's an age difference there, isn't there? So what's it got to do with Romans 15, you might say? Well, I think it's got a lot to do with attitude towards others. Yeah? We then who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. You know? When you get older and you realise that actually you're probably going to get to a point where you're going to need other people to help you, if only physically. Start to realise maybe you're not as strong as you were, and you're not as independent as you were. I mean, my dear wife, you wouldn't know it. Look at her. She's absolutely normal. But put your arm up, my dear. Come on, show us your arm. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? What do you call it? Your lollipop. Yeah. She had a carpal tunnel syndrome operation done the other day. Is it carpal tunnel syndrome? Yes, my dear. And I was quite concerned because I know some of you may remember Brian Truman. Well, his wife, Alison Truman, his first wife, she had it done and she was in agony for weeks. So I purloined some serious strong painkillers from somebody whose name will remain anonymous because all Anne's got is Anandin Extra or something. She's not even taking those after three days. Right? Now, if that was a man, can you imagine it? Can you imagine how much we'd need nursing? Huh? I see some nods from the ladies. I don't see Rod nodding there. So maybe, Rod, you're made of sterner stuff than most of us. Hallelujah. Okay. When in the middle of our lives, we're strong, we want to be with other strong people. Do you find that? You want to be with like-minded people. You want to be with people who are, you know, strong in the word, which is not wrong, of course. But there is a danger that you neglect those who are not. And I'm probably guilty of that. I actually like to be around people and I tell people to snap out of it and grow up and things. And yeah, one day though, I'll be in that situation, if physically, if not spiritually or mentally. And so the Lord's just had to sort of, you know, as I shave a few things off of what reading this, it's been quite a tough passage even to look at the first couple of verses and looking at what other people have written about it. Okay. If we could project ourselves forward a few decades, we might see ourselves as shells of our former self and realise that this is the lot of all men. Now, this isn't a depressing message for you older people, which is most of you. Right? I say older, I mean over 50 or something. But it is a realisation. It's a recognising it. You know, David, King David, that great king, greatest king of Israel, was absolutely clapped out at 70. He died at 70. He was clapped out before 70. In fact, he was so clapped out, he couldn't even keep himself warm. So he was given this beautiful nubile virgin to lie with him and keep him warm. And he was so clapped out, he didn't lay a finger on her. Right? Which is, you know, not normal for David. As you know, he got himself in a bit of trouble in that department earlier in life. But he was that age at 70. He was worn out. That's a hard one. It's the stomach, isn't it, guys? But possibly welcoming for some of the ladies. Yes, one goes to mind. Okay, let's go off peace for a moment and look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember now your creator in the day. This is for you younger people. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of evil come, or the years draw near when you will say, no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars are not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. That's the teeth. And the strong men shall bow themselves, and all the grinders shall cease because they are few. And those that look out of the windows, the eyes be darkened. The doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. Your hearing drops off. Yeah. And he will rise up at the voice of the bird, waking up early. Was that about you, Tony? Yeah, okay. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high. I tell you what, my friend Stuart Rivers, he tripped over on his porch and spent a month in hospital. And he's broke three bones. He's had to have them plated. And he's going to be out of normal. He won't be able to walk probably for about 3 months. And he's only in his 50s. Scary, isn't it? You know, whereas my grandson and my granddaughters, they never keep still. They're always leaping off things without thinking because they're not brittle. They're plastic. Hallelujah. And when they are afraid of that which is high, and the fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. There you go. That's what happened to David. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it, and he will give us, hallelujah, new bodies. Amen. And those bodies, there's the resurrection unto everlasting life, and there's the resurrection unto everlasting damnation. Imagine that. That'd be going to the dogs, wouldn't it, really? But damnation, that's right. And we're going to get bodies that will last and they won't wear out. Praise the Lord. Isn't that glorious? Okay. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. It's all about the circle of life, as Disney calls it on The Lion King. You know, one of my favourite books is The Wind in the Willows. Anyone read Wind in the Willows? Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. I've listened to it. I don't read, I listen. I listen to books. And I've listened to it, I don't know how many times, on audio. And of course, I've been likened to Toad on a few occasions for several reasons, but probably because of my interest in things that move. So if you remember, Toad gets himself on his gypsy caravans, and he goes off and he sings a song about it with the horse on the cartoon going from side to side. And he says, famously, it's the only way to travel. You see? Until he sees a motor car. And he just leaves the horse, leaves the cart, and goes and buys himself a motor car and wrecks one car after another. And he ends up eventually in jail. Come and bought four, but he ends up in jail for something. And then he learns about flying. Oh, this is it. And he goes flying, bombing everybody with his aircraft. And he says, it's the only way to travel. But guess what happens to Toady? Guess what happens to Ratty? Guess what happens to Mole? And who was the other one? Toad? Ratty? Mole? Badger. Wise old Badger. Is they all grow old. And they die. But before they die, there's another book written. Well, I say it's before, maybe it's after, I can't remember. It's called Beyond the Willows. Anyone read that one? And it's the continuation, and it's about their offspring of all these four. And it's a lovely story. But of course, that's it, isn't it, folks? That's what it's about. It's about handing on to the next generation what the Lord gives us. And you know, there's a lot of people in this world who've been told that they'll make nothing. And yet that's completely changed. I mean, just think of some of the real, from the world perspective, people who've made it. Bill Gates dropped out of university. But I was thinking of someone else. I think it was you, Neil, who mentioned, and that was, Anne, help me out, unmute. Ailsworth, no. Seven, somebody help me out. What's her name? The woman who went to China. Gladys Aylward. She went along, I think, to the China Inland Mission, and they said, nah, haven't got it. you're not the right person. You're not the right material to become a member of, to be a missionary out to China. So she went. And God did mighty things through Gladys Aylward. And one of the things that he did was he used her to get this curse on women of having their feet bound, which was destroying their feet. And she persuaded many, I think, authorities as well, to stop women having their feet bound because of the damage it was doing to them. And then this last week, I watched a video of Jackie Pullinger, who also went to China, Hong Kong, China, which is now China, of course. And she went there because she got saved and she didn't know what to do. And I think it was her vicar who told her, get on a ship and wait till God tells you to get off. And she went to China and she ended up in Kowloon and ended up in this place called the Walled City, which actually didn't come under the law because it was not part of the agreement with China. So it was a sort of no man's land. And she went there and it was full of triads. It was full of prostitution. It was where all the cocaine was and the heroin was. It was vile. The place was just running. It was a running sewer full of rats. And she went there to take the love of Jesus. As far as I know, she's still in China today. She's still in Hong Kong. And the favour, she's got her MBE now. She was recognised for her work, even by the world. Hallelujah. But she's looking old now. So somebody else needs to take over. And so it's all about handing on, isn't it? We ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We ought to help people who are weak and help them to become strong and not, you know, perhaps pass people by. Don't write them off. The world writes people off if they don't. You know, they tell you, they lie to you when you're young and they say, you can do anything. It's a lie. You can't. Not everybody can do everything. We're all good at something. It's one thing I've discovered. Everybody's good at something, but not everybody's good at everything. So you can't be anything you want to be. But what we do as Christians is we look to encourage people and to develop their strengths and develop their relationship with the Lord, help them to be real in their Christian faith. And go on from glory to glory. And so it says in verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification. It's not for our good. There may be nothing in it. Absolutely nothing in it for us. And that's what true love is, isn't it? Jesus said something about that. He said, when I write it, he said that even the publicans do good for their own. In other words, for people of their own, family, or maybe people who can repay you. But God says we're to give to those who can't give back to us. Amen. Expect nothing in return. Because that's the way we've received freely, so we can give freely. And when we give, God will give to us what we need. Amen. And we'll go from glory to glory. I want to show a video which is a utopian world society. It doesn't fit in with the kingdom, but I remember this morning. Let me share my screen with you, and you can rock along to it, join in if you want, dance to it. It's entirely up to you. It's actually quite good. Here we go. Hopefully you've got sound on here.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves.
Hang on. Oh. I didn't share it. And now, 20 years later.
Right here, 20 years ago.
Right here, Mom?
Mm-hmm. You just can't imagine what it felt like.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves.
Can't be
of tooth decay and diabetes. Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. That drink, which is a killer drink, but isn't it beautifully... Oops, turn off. But so I'm going to turn my video off. But it's incredible, isn't it? Anybody seen it? Remember that from the 70s? Yeah. And it just sort of, it's the ultimate sort of worldly song from a company that has literally probably caused the death of millions of people. Continues to do so, though people are wising up to it, I think. But has also has replaced St. Nicholas with Santa Claus. Same company. It's phenomenal, isn't it? That the effect it had. But that's because it appeals to people. And what appeals to it, I think, there especially, is this idea of this utopian society that we could live in. But there's one problem. There's no saviour. The sin is the scourge of mankind. But there's no saviour. It's all about us, what we can do together. We can do nothing, folks. So all this stuff that's going on in the world now about equality and diversity and putting right the past, the only way that you can put the past right is already been done through Jesus Christ. And it's by faith in him. So if ever there's a need for the world to know the gospel, it's now. And, you know, I would say this is the strategy that when I get the chance, I'm going to employ. I'm going to just go out there and I'm not going to let anybody draw me into any conversation about anything about except Jesus Christ. I'm not going to let anyone to get me off on it, because what they're going to do, they'll take your words and they'll use them against you like they've always done. Just preach Christ and him crucified, which is what Paul said. And don't, Tony, especially you, Tony Ballinger, don't get drawn into anything to do with the Pfizer vaccine or anything to do with that, because it'll be used against you and they'll mock you and they'll take away the testimony of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? It's the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It, not them, it is the power of God unto salvation to everybody who believes, to the Jew first and to the Gentile. In it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The power of God is in the gospel, and we can preach it, and we need to preach it. And we don't let to worry about being the constraints of this. Do it on Facebook, do whatever you like, but just let's preach Jesus and him crucified while we've got breath in our bodies. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, a few more verses and I'm through. And that's just the next couple of verses. Let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification. So it's for their benefit, not for ours. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached you, God, fell on me. He took the fall. Jesus took the fall for the reproaches that came on God. For whatsoever things were written aforetime beforehand were written for our learning, that we through patience or endurance and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And then finally, now the God of patience and consolation grant you and me to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Let's look for things that unite us. And I don't mean just us, but all believers in Christ. I said last time I spoke that we've got a neighbour over the wall, over the road, and on the other side of him is another believer who I have absolutely nothing in common with when it comes to political views, etc. But he is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as am I, as are you. And I don't talk to him usually very seldom, because there's so many things we could disagree on. But what I'm going to do when I see him is I'm going to look for things that I know I can agree with him on. Amen. And I think that's our responsibility. Neil, don't worry about all of the divisive opinions of people, right? Get God's word for yourself, my brother, and just let it work in you richly, transforming you from glory to glory. Because if you watch two videos on the same subject, you're going to get two opinions. They're like armpits. We've all got two and they stink. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you so much, John. Really, really great to hear what you had to say. And you know, as we get on in life and as we grow older, which we're all doing, I believe that more and more we should be equipped to reach out to others, because God God is forever moulding us and helping us in our work for Him. So be blessed, be encouraged, and you are allowed to talk about other things, but only if they lead to the gospel. Amen? That's good. Right. I think what we will do now, we do have a final song, do we, Glenda? Yeah, we do. Why don't we use that to have another little short time of worship, and then we're going to be breaking up into smaller groups to pray with one another. Okay, over to you, my dear sister.
Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us both sons, leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, break above all names, Lamb of God, Messiah, for sinners slain. Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son,